Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
So, Tony Mac, this is a good time to be you, right? There's a lot going on.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. But music mostly.
But there's always been a lot going on with you. I mean, you are a producer, songwriter, composer, performer, music technology facilitator. There's just a hell of a lot going on. It really seems like you've immersed yourself 100% in every aspect of music.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it all started actually while I stayed in the womb, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because my mother was on radio. She was a radio presenter. And when she was pregnant with me, she was working the graveyard shift. So I could say that I was exposed to music before I was born.
Huh.
So, you know, just music became everything from the start. I've never wanted to do anything else ever, you know, my whole life. At school, extramural activities. After school, it was always music.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Math Town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Motsoko music.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, we had I'll never forget, we had Tux on about a year ago still, and I still remember that interview and just, you know, the way that he speaks about Motsoko music, and obviously, you know, Casper's also representing big in that space now.
Yeah.
But what is it about this place called Mafeking and Muff Town that, you know, has given it its own musical identity? Because, Pretoria doesn't have a sound.
Yeah.
Johannesburg doesn't really have a sound.
Yeah.
Cape Town, maybe a bit of a sound. Durban, you know, you got your big Nazi. Like, there's a little bit of a sound.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for a little town called Mafeking, they certainly have made a massive impact in terms of reflecting the...
It's more than just music. It's entertainment at large.
Because who else is out of there?
Losha Cooper
was
a dancer at Mabana. Well, Mabana is a cultural center in Mafeking that gave birth to a lot of actors, a lot of musicians. So I think that was the platform. You know, there was this thing, you know, after school we used to go to Mabana and you either played sports or you did music or you did drama. And most of us, there was Radio Bop, Bop TV.
That's
Yeah. So there was an industry and a hub there, you know. So growing up, it was already realistic for you to see a career in music, in entertainment, in media, because everything was all around you. And it's such a small town that anything that existed, they existed for everyone. Nobody was, excluded from anything that was going down there. So we kind of grew up. I mean, I remember as far as primary school, there would always be an annual music show where we could all go and participate, and you know, it would be like a contest where every year you'd look forward to who's gonna win. So even the cliques, you know, growing up, it was musically inclined, it was culturally inclined,
But I mean, it still is something that the stuff that comes out of there is so distinct and unique and kind of authentic about the space. And I wonder if it's like saying in the water. I don't know. Because for a space to develop its own genre of music, I mean, you look at like in the States, like you've got the Bronx has developed its own genre of music.
Yeah.
And in a South African context, the closest that you're going to get to that, and very plausibly so, is like a Mafeking. How did it influence you and what you're about and your musicality?
Apart from my mother, everybody else in my family was... one thing or another had to do with music. My grandfather conducted choirs. My aunt also did the same thing. One of my other aunts was a ballroom dancer. So, you know, either way you look at it, 360 degrees, I'd turn around and there'd be all this influence. And even when I walk out of the yard, there's all this influence. And I think the thing about Mafeking was that, you know, we grew up free. We grew up, you were free to express yourself. And what I've noticed coming to Joburg is a lot of the guys that we meet in the music industry grew up in families where maybe the family wasn't really cool about them wanting to pursue this thing. Whereas we were encouraged from a very young age to you know, get into the arts. So I think that's what gave the basis for Mafi King to have its own sound, because there was this freedom to express, this freedom to get into the arts, and, you know, so creating a musical image, so to speak, was the next best thing. It came naturally. It's not something that we sat down and said, look, we're going to come up with this. It was an influence that was just in the air around you everywhere you went. And when we all came out to Joburg, when you came to Joburg and you found Maftown people, we quickly, you know, grow into a clique together and get into the same sound and get into the same things. We talk about the same things. We you know, the first ones to come out. I remember Stone, Bruce Sibitlo, who are some of the guys that started Kalawa Music, also came from Mafi King. And, you know, they sort of pioneered that whole, you know, okay, so we can move out into Joburg and take over.
Do stuff, yeah.
You know, yeah. So it started with them, and then came Crowded Crew, KB Mutsilingani, you know. All these people started trickling out, you know, Double HP.
Yeah.
And
Double HP was a real breakthrough. Yeah. I mean, that was a breakthrough. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, when Morafi came right after Double HP, that was when we were starting to really formulate this kind of hip hop that influenced actually a lot of other places and influenced where hip hop is today. I mean, if you look at a Casper Nyovest, he comes from that lineage. I remember
and
a time,
he credits it hugely. Yeah.
And I remember a time when he was still very young and he was coming up, and, you know, we would allow them to perform at our gigs and stuff, and he would, from a very young age, he would always say that, look, I'm going to be the greatest to have ever done this, you know. At first you would think, this kid is
I've heard
ambitious.
This before. Yeah,
yeah. But I remember for as long as he's been in this, he's always had this vision, you know. And I suppose it was a picture that only he had in his head, because when he couldn't put it in words, all he could say was, I'm going to be the greatest to have ever done this. And you couldn't get him to explain it further than that. You know, it sounded ambitious. It sounded a bit, you know, arrogant for a little kid to come up to the people he looks up to. And he says, but I'm going to do it better than you guys. He said it even back then. And to see him do it today, it's so inspiring, because you know where this kid comes from. You know that he's the only one out of all of us that actually dropped out of school. And, you know, we all frowned at that. You know, we all thought, come on, man, we've all finished school. We've all, you know, why are you going to go and do this? And he said, but I'm so focused on
this.
I believe in this thing so much that I'm going to drop out at 11th grade and pursue this thing 100%. And seeing how far he's come today, wow.
It's inspiring.
It's inspiring. It's, you know, you realize now what vision he had back then and what he stuck to.
Let's talk about you, though, and your vision and where you're at. I mean, it's an unbelievably successful career that you've had now, producing some of, you know, the biggest songs that we know, the whole thing, Double H by Morafi.
Yeah.
You've got your own debut solo album, Lesson One, your biggest hitter, Mr.
Magnificent.
There you go.
Yeah.
But where are you at right now in 2016? Because it seems like there's a strong push from you to, you know, be your own version of Casper and to be your own artist in your own right, and not just always behind the scenes.
Yeah, and as I'm as passionate about making musicians as I am about making music as well. You know, I love to see growth around me. You know, I love music. I love to perform. I love to make my own music, but I also like to make music for other people, and I also like to contribute to other people's careers.
But at some point, you got to say it's about me.
Yeah, yeah.
So know. Is this that point?
This is that point where, you know.
You deserve it, bro.
Yeah. You know, this is that point where I'm like, you know, yeah, I've done so much for other people's careers. And now I'm going to focus a little bit more on myself. But at the same time, I still have a passion to teach, to groom, to mentor. You know, that's why I went and lectured in music technology for about 4 years. at MND Multimedia Institute. So, and even after I left the college, when I thought, okay, that's, I'm done teaching. About a year after I left the college, I started doing workshops because I would still be approached by younger musicians and saying, yo, man, I heard so-and-so and they're so good and they say they learned everything they learned from you. And so I still go around and help others and mentor people. Actually, yesterday I just came out of a meeting with a new girl group that's going to be coming out, and they actually came up to me and asked me to mentor them. And I mean, you see it from the likes of Fifi Cooper. I've mentored her. Benchmark, they were my students actually at the college. There's a lot of other DJs, and one of the guys from African Roots, Cosmo, he was my student as well. So I'm inspired to actually continue, you know, teaching and imparting knowledge because I see what it does for other people, you know.
What does it take, though, to make it in the SA music industry? I mean, and I don't expect, like, a clear-cut answer because that would be dumb and everyone's, a unique case.
Yeah.
But when someone comes to you and says, you know, something resonated within you for Casper, something resonated within you with Fifi.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a quality that you're able to just kind of very quickly assess if the person has it or not?
I'm a good judge of raw talent because I'm really good at helping mold it and giving it direction. But what's also exciting about that is, you know, human beings are human beings. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much of the skill I teach you or how much of the knowledge that I give you, how you process it and how you reflect it is always going to be a surprise and a lesson for me. So I'm always eager to learn something from someone after I give them a certain skill or a certain set of, you know, knowledge base, you know, and that's it. That's the formula right there. You know, what you do with what you know or what you can do, you know. And I mean, there are songs out there that are huge that if somebody came to you with the same song and said, what do you think of this? You would have probably said, nah, this probably won't make it. And so one thing that I teach all my students is that the best ingredient in any song is the listener's ear. That's it. That's where a song becomes a hit. It doesn't become a hit in the studio. It becomes a hit when it's consumed.
And how it appeals to that person.
Exactly. So, you know, but if we are to break it down to, okay, but what really is there something that makes a musician? It's the angle.
What's your angle?
My angle is, you know, I'm like a mother hen type of, you know,
collecting people. Yeah.
I like to be responsible for others' success. Right. So, that's where I get my respect from.
Yeah.
So now that I'm coming out with a single, everybody's waiting to hear it because they know they've heard what I've done with other people. Now they're eager to hear what I'm going to do with myself.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my angle. Everybody has an angle, you know. You get, for example, CC from 999 Records. She could have just been any other kid singing R&B, but she won a competition. That's the angle. So that was the developmental aspect of her career. Your Casper, the angle was the beef with AKA. And that, so there's always an angle. There's always...
And you got to find new angles all the time as well.
All the time, yeah.
So about this new single? This is exciting.
Yeah, yes, chick. I actually featured Benchmark.
Very cool.
My mentees, yeah. So it was... I mean, ever since I taught them at the college, they would always say, but, you know, look, if we pass this year, will you do a song with us? You know, and so it was a long-standing agreement or a promise. And they did very well at the end of that year. And so I had always owed them to do a song with them. So this was finally...
That's
that,
been cool that for them, huh?
Yes. I mean, they love it. They were excited to do it, you know, because I also surprised them with, you know, I had done the song already. I had produced everything. All they had to do was their verses. And so I just gave them a call one day and said, check in your emails. There's a song in there. Just write verses. This is the directive. Go. And they aced it, you know, they aced it. I gave it to them like I would give them an assignment back when I used to teach them, and they aced it, they killed it.
Listen, dude, you're an interesting guy. I think that what's amazing about you as an artist is that you haven't just made it all about you. Even when I asked you to speak about yourself, like, it was difficult to get to that point.
Yeah.
You really want to give back, which I guess is, you know, where the most powerful music comes from, is when it's about, you know, giving it to other people. And when you're not self-indulged in that process.
Yeah, it's never about you. It never, ever is. Any product developer, like the guy that made this bottle of water, did not make it for themselves. They were
made it for people.
Yes. You know, product developers always say, especially in innovation and in technology, you never create anything unless it's to solve a problem or to meet a particular need. So, you know, as a musician, you have to see yourself as a product developer. You are creating something that is going to be consumed by somebody else. Mm-hmm. That immediately informs you that you're not doing this for yourself. You know, and if that's not your paradigm, then you're going to struggle and you're going to be frustrated when people don't like your music or don't respond to it the way you thought they would. You know, it's exciting for me to just let go and see how people respond to stuff rather than expect them to respond a certain way to it.
Well, in a day and age where people are taking selfies and they just want to put pictures of themselves on the internet, it's refreshing to have somebody who wants to pay it forward a little bit. What's the one line we should take away from this conversation, Tody?
Don't only make millions, make millionaires.
Huh.
Yeah.
What a paid forward guy. Just, you're too nice, Tody. I mean, it's great, but it's a lot.
Yeah, but look, the way I see it is when you make millionaires, it's sort of being selfish as well, because you'll never go hungry.
Yeah.
If you make your own millions, they could go away, dissipate, and you'll go hungry. But if you make millionaires, you could be left with nothing, but you'll never go hungry.
I'm going to ask this guy to mentor me afterwards. He's very nice. And he's got a lot of information to impart, and he's doing unbelievable stuff. Tody Mac, thank you so much. It's TODEEMAC on social media.
Everywhere, yeah.
Thank you so much for passing by.
Thank you so much. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.